Welcome to the Teacher's Lounge, your place for education news brought to you by real educators. And now, Rachel Giannini and Garrett Wilhelm.
Hey there. I'm so sorry. I'm kind of in love with our new theme music, and I'm frequently dancing all the time it's on. Anywho, hello, everybody. Hello, camp counselors. My name is Rachel Giannini, and I am so excited to be here tonight in the Teacher's Lounge, but like always, I am not far from my bestest of best friends, Mr. Garrett Wilhelm. Mr. Garrett Wilhelm, will you please join us? Garrett, where are you, Garrett? Peekaboo.
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, I was in my basement's basement. It's the basement under the there it is. That I always forget that it's reversed. That is comedy.
Oh, yeah. Behind the couch is a kid.
Oh, absolutely. And the escalator where you do it kind of.
The elevator.
And the elevator. Yeah, of course. Yep. We didn't have cell phones growing up.
We didn't have TV growing up, kids. That's all we had.
We went outside and used our pretend minds. Anyway, welcome to the Teacher's Lounge. I'm Garrett. That's Rachel. And we're here to enrich in your lives and bring a little perspective from teachers to you. Out there, the viewers, the wonderful viewers. So thank you for tuning in with us tonight. We have an amazing show, don't we, Rachel?
We do. We're going to talk a little bit about all the fun technology things that are out and about for not just educators, but for parents. And I think summer is a really great time to prep for the fall. And hint, spoiler alert, some of our devices would be really fun to use this summer.
Absolute.
Can't say hello to people.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're back. And you know, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. We're too cool for school. The man's trying to keep us down with our hardcore conversations about education and going outside.
100,000,000%. Hold on one second. I got to share this back out because they kicked us off and I'm hoping that it catches up. All right, here we go. Yep, there's me. I'm looking at myself right now.
Meta.
It's very meta. And I was about to say, it's super meta.
I love it. All
right, let me share this back out. Boom. Sorry, we just want to make sure there's actual viewers and that they know to get alerted for the video. And I know this is probably driving you crazy, but just give us a second. Be patient,
it's
everybody.
It's driving us bonkers, too. You're not alone.
Yeah, just know that. And know that there's a lot of groups out there that watch our stuff. So,
but you know what? If you are one of those people right now, you're like, I can't do this right now. So that's okay. You can always watch an episode later. Also, you can listen to an episode because we, friends, are on every single podcast platform possible. And there's a lot of alliteration in that word. But Apple, other ones, every single one you got, like you can find the Teacher's Lounge, and there are other Teacher's Lounges. So just make sure you look for our fancy logo that Garrett designed.
Yes, exactly. And and not only look for the logo, look for the best one, and boom, there we are. Thank you guys. So we got kicked off again. I'm super sorry. Don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to spread the word about education. But what I am going to do, who's going first on news, Rachel?
You're going first on news. But before I forget, Garrett, before we leave tonight, I have to tell you about my dream about Barbara Bush. Because it is a direct correlation to last week's episode. So don't let me forget.
Amazing.
Hang on, friends, to the end. Okay, but news.
Hang on. Yes, absolutely. Let's take it into the news, friends. What's the deal with school boards? I practiced that. I practiced it before, and it didn't come off well live on show, and that's very meta. But yeah, what's the deal, guys, with school boards? You know, I live in Loudoun County. Loudoun County has made the news exponentially. Like, every time, I swear, something happens with the schools, we're in the, you know, international news and U.S. news. And really, what I realized was this phenomenon, if you will, is occurring across the entire country. So school boards are being challenged. Schools are being challenged in general. You have Tucker Carlson going on Fox News saying that schools should have cameras in them, and we should be able to monitor teachers and watch to see if things like critical race theory are being taught. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fire around it because we're talking about our kids. We're talking about the things that are most precious to us. And I'm sure people are super passionate about, is that a kitty cat? That's so cute. No,
not, I'm gonna bring Rachel it's up. Not cute at all. We're like having a serious discussion. Magnus, you have no opinion. You are a high school teacher. So sorry.
Oh my goodness. No, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, so school boards, I don't know if there's buzz around Chicago. I don't know what the deal is there, but people have gone loco.
I read many papers and stories about your county, and I never want to bring it up to you. Like, what's the deal with your county? It's interesting. Illinois has its own issues. We are multiple states within one.
Right.
We are currently struggling within our local Chicago public school just because of the fact that like we don't even know if we can vote for a school board because it's not an elected position. So it's one of those things of like we have a lot of issues, but I will definitely say we are not making the news when it comes to people standing up and airing grievances and hearing their own voice for long periods of time.
Yeah. And I think if something's productive, great, but it's just
totally. If you want a conversation, like you and I know this, mm-hmm. Becky can come out and we can have a conversation.
But for sure.
What
for
these
sure.
people are doing is grandstanding. There is no conversation. It is, I'm going to yell as loud as I can all of my points and sit down and not be like witness to anybody else's. And it's, I mean, some people have to go back to preschool.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I just don't see any type of message being shared when it's just two people yelling directly at each other and there's no product. And the best part, the most ironic part about this is that we're talking about kids and modeling behavior that is barbaric in a lot of ways.
No, I think
is somebody getting arrested at a school board meeting?
That is a great question. I think that you brought that up like between a conversation with us a couple weeks back, and that's the perfect case. It's this idea of, let me get this straight. We're going to a building to talk about benefiting children, and what results are fistfights and yelling.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. That's great. Great examples.
Yeah.
Those kids are real proud of you.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was an Instagram thing or something went around on the internet from a teacher writing a letter to Tucker Carlson about his comments on cameras in the classroom. And the interesting take on it, I wish I could find it. But anyway, his take was like, please come into the classroom because what you're going to see, he's like, what we said, when we were talking a little while ago about critical race theory. It's like, he's like, hey, Tucker, you think that this is being like systematically taught? He's like, I didn't really even know about it until the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And he's like, and some aspects of it are just teaching the truth. So, but he goes into basically saying, come into our classrooms. What you're going to see is teachers connecting with students when they have nobody to talk to.
Yes.
Is teachers stoking people's curiosity.
Yes.
Is finding the one kid that no one thought he was seen, that he didn't think was seen, and, you know, and being there for them. So
I love that. If Tucker Carlson wants to come into my classroom and do a story time, good luck. You're more than welcome.
That's what we should do. That is actually really smart. That's the Mr. Rogers approach, which is like, instead of like, exactly, like, let's have a conversation, but first take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get those
slippers
on. Wash your hands. Come sit down. Let's calm our bodies.
Oh my gosh. Could you even imagine how just this idea of so many folks could leave the classroom being like, okay, one, I didn't know what you did. Because it's 1,000,000,000,000 times harder than I could have ever imagined. And two, I want to come back, but I never want to lead another rug time again. Because it bombed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hopefully.
Get your ego hit a little.
Out of curiosity, have you gone to any of these meetings that things have gotten a little rough and tumble?
No. You know, I mean, I... I don't know, as a business owner, I really like to, and just as a human, right? Like I tend to want to say we can disagree and still be friends,
yeah.
But I'm super interested in your perspective. Like I'm always very curious and always trying to, I won't say always, but most of the time trying to, be open and understand others. So when it comes to something like the school board thing, I have my opinions about it, of course. And I think people that know me definitely know. I would rather them have actual healthy conversations than, you know, because these are kids and we do worry about them and fear is real and perspective is real, right?
Yes.
So we need to make sure that, you know, everybody starts valuing others' perspectives and trying to understand rather than doing what we're so great at, which is, you know, you're the light side of the forest and we're the dark. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's, yeah. And if anything, guys, we've talked a lot about Mr. Rogers on the show, but that guy, we've cried over Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah.
But that guy had it right. I don't know. He was the most, like, the closest to a Christ figure.
He is the Messiah of the early childhood.
And just a human. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Solid human. Anyway, Rachel, hit off to your story.
Yes, my story has a little bit to do with jumping in the DeLorean and going forward in time. So that means we put the banana in and the nuclear fission thing, and then we go forward. Because we're looking into fall, believe it or not. I mean, I was in Target the other day and the fall sale school supplies are already out. So it's already on everybody's mind. And some of the testing that was done, this article comes out of The Hill. So this, it's a national publication, and they did a massive nationwide preschool assessment of kids who are getting ready to go to kindergarten. And here's what we know. One, I have to get my paper out because see all those numbers? There's a lot. So only 10% of 3 to 5 year olds this last year maintained the same schedule that they did the year before. So meaning if they went every day, full day, half day, whatever, only 10% of kids had a regular schedule that they were familiar with. And we all know how important scheduling is for kiddos. So also enrollment in preschool in 2020 went down 30%. And Garrett and I can talk tons about the amount of children. Obviously centers were closed, but even within centers that were open, we were nowhere near capacity. 35% of that 20% of that pie was chronically absent. Chronically absent. And then, like, to that icing on the cake that tastes really crummy because it's not good icing, in everybody's kindergarten readiness, they found that in 41 states, there's only 50 of us, friends, out of 41 of those, 50% were nowhere near where they would want to be for kindergarten readiness. So essentially, this story really goes to show everything we feared is correct and that we need to start fall day one with, I'm not saying we need to start with like math and science and everything, but we need to start like, let's get some play. Let's get some stability going.
That's the most important, I think, is maintaining a schedule. Like you said, like, especially for really young kids, like in early childhood, how important it is to develop executive functioning and be able to, you know, organize and plan and connect with other humans. And, you know, I just think it's very detrimental what happened, but what I will say is kids will always rise.
Kids are resilient. They will bounce back more than we think. It's so funny. I was talking, my downstairs neighbor Owen is going to first grade. And due to the pandemic and due to the several Chicago teacher strikes, he has only been to school for 3 months and he attended preschool. He's only been in a classroom for 3 months out of 2 years. And he's going to first grade. And it's this idea of like, so preschool, you were there for 3 months. Kindergarten, you were virtual. and you're going to first grade. It's like, I can't wait to see what's up. Like, he's a great kid. He's super resilient. He's like very creative. So he's got a lot of things going for him. But this idea of like, see that desk, friend? Got to get real comfortable with that desk.
You're going to have to sit there for longer than 2 minutes and then get up and wow.
Bonkers.
You know, I think, and I think too, COVID and the quarantines and the isolation and all of that, I think magnified, the good and the bad, right? So it magnified like iPad addiction, it magnified time at home with your family, magnified, I think it really pointed out a lot of flaws in people. And so
we learned a lot.
So I think when applying to kids, I would say that, if your kiddo hasn't yet developed social skills, that's I think where we're seeing a detriment in the largest factor is like this false sense of connection.
Yeah. I will definitely say teachers know what they're doing. So the idea of like, if given the opportunity to be in a space where you are encouraging children to learn through play, to engage with their peers, to collaborate and negotiate and learn those fine arts of communication and playing in that sandbox, then everything will fall into line way faster than if you're like, we are maintaining how it's been for the last 50 years. Now read.
Yeah. Ready, go. Yeah. So, Linda Hamill. Hi, Linda. This is family. That's like the old days. I didn't have preschool or kindergarten. Ah. First grade was my first school experience, but it wasn't as intense back then. You're right.
A lot of things.
You're right. I think the folk, and thankfully, right? Like, yeah. I think the focus of school back then was a little less academic rigor.
Yes.
And they did have a focus on trade.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think that's where school needs to go. But great point. Absolutely great point and very relatable.
Oh, for sure.
When it comes to a lot of folks, when you just, I can't believe just going into first grade. Preschool wasn't even a thing.
No. I really hope that he sees it as being easier. Like, he's already done the hardest thing possible of virtual learning as a 5-year-old. So a 6-year-old, man, this is, look at these blocks. Like, look at all this stuff I got. Like, I'm hoping that it becomes way easier than an uphill battle.
Yeah. And I would say, as a caveat to what Linda said, is I think what we had, or maybe what you guys had in that generation, was there wasn't first grade and kindergarten, but there also was a lot of like neighborhood play.
Yeah.
And moms taking care of other kids down the road. And these, I think a lot of the kids these days are, they've been isolated. So you lose that sense of self and do I have friends? What are friends?
Yeah. So. Most of his friends are adults. So, he's my best friend. So that's okay.
I freaking love it. And I love that you said, like, I went downstairs to talk with my friend Owen. He's in first grade.
He's in first grade. It's really exciting.
I love it. Man. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Shall we discuss some fun things to do this summer?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll take the lead on this. Yeah. So I had a couple of, let's see if I can share screen. I was going to show everybody, boom, and then I'll do a Chrome tab and then I'll do this and let's see what happens. Did that work?
I see nothing, friend.
Wait.
I see something.
Here it is. Here it is. It is Seesaw. Seesaw is a great app that is free. It is web-based and there's an app on your iPhone or Android. And, Rachel and I are really big into Reggio. And part of Reggio is documenting. And part of it is being an observer and a documentarian, if you will, of a child's experience throughout the classroom. And what I find really interesting about Seesaw is two things. One, it allows the teacher to document learning super easy in a very organized format so that you can do things like tag activities with standards for your state. You can tag them from learning areas. You can tag them with all kinds of different things so that you can then go back and sort that data, right? Because that data, that documentation is super important to personalize a kiddo's education. So, you know, for parents at home, just allowing your child, like this is the cool thing about Seesaw, is they have a self-documentation feature, which allows children to document their own learning, which a lot of people don't value that perspective, but I think is the most important perspective of education is the child's view. Yeah. So self-documenting their, even their summer stuff, like summer toys and towers they build and Lego things, and then being able to send that directly to their parents so that they can be at work and maybe the kiddo's at home with the nanny, or maybe they're, you know, at, hopefully they're at preschool using something like Seesaw. But what I find is very unique about Seesaw is that self-documentation tool and the ease of use. I mean, it's really, they make it so kids are just very comfortable in shooting video and shooting pictures. And I think it's so interesting when you actually take a step back and you take in that data, trying to take it from the sense or perspective of a child. So trying to get that feeling of like, well, okay, we know this kid's super interested in this, but why are they interested in it? And what, you get the why of it.
What age range are you thinking that this is the sweet spot for?
So, you know, I have personally used Seesaw in a 3 to 6 classroom.
Ooh.
So kids are very, especially these days, and this is how we can use tech in a positive way, right? Is kids are very savvy. I mean, if you see a 3-year-old, they know very well how
it's
to navigate.
True.
So,
so.
But I think the trade-off in that that's positive is that you're giving them a voice. So,
I like that. I like the idea of it being part of your summer, and I don't want to use this word necessarily, but curriculum, the idea of like, we're going to go outside, we're going to go to the beach, and I want you to think about 3 things that that happened at the beach that was really great. And then on that long car ride home from the beach, put it in and chat about it. Maybe you took some photos at the beach, maybe you did whatever, but there's an opportunity then to immediately reflect and then cut to like 2 days later, be like, let's make some connections. Because
exactly.
I think that that is an opportunity that doesn't always happen. There's teachable moments everywhere. And the idea that there's sparks that unless they're like flamed, it's just like, oh, and then they're gone. So I think that's great. I like that. And I like the idea is a question. How many users can you have on one?
On a free account, I think it's up to like 15 or 20.
Okay, so like
if you want to do a whole school.
One.
But you can do a whole school. I mean, they're designed for schools.
Yeah.
You could, yeah, it's set up so you set a teacher's class and then you have,
gotcha.
You know, yeah. So it's, I mean, but the cool thing about Seesaw is that it's only for self-documentation and documentation of learning. So a lot of those features, old school things like that, have that tool featured in their tech. But this is specifically made like the sweet spot. You know what I mean?
I love that.
It has those features that I was kind of telling you about, which is QR codes for the kiddos to scan and sign into their account, allows them to self-document. So
I love that. Good
take
stuff.
Take it away, Rachel.
Yes. So kind of on the same wavelength, when Garrett gave me the assignment, I'm like, let's find some stuff for kids. I immediately went to an app that I discovered during the pandemic, and I'm in love with it. I would marry it. Because here's the deal. Every time I use it, I always say, I wish I had this when I was in the classroom full time. So it is Google Lens. I sent Garrett like a little pic if he wants to pull it up. It is so neat. Imagine if you will, you're on a walk with kids and they're like, what
is
that?
Imagine if you will.
Imagine if you will. And they're like, what is that flower? And you're like, I don't know. And you could do a couple of things. Let's say it's early on in the walk. You can make a note that you will get back to later. You could perhaps say, that's a great question. How can we find out? And they'll say, we can look it up. And then you like keep moving on. Or you can pull out your phone and you can go, let's find out. And then you could scan it with the camera. And then immediately you'll say, oh, it's a tulip and it's a rare breed and it's this. So while I'm not huge in giving children answers, I'm huge in capitalizing on moments. So
I love it.
The idea that within this 30-second narration, you can then perhaps spark something that's really interesting. Like you could say like, and butterflies feed off of them regularly. What kind of butterflies do you think? Have you seen any around? Like then you can extend that learning, but making sure to capitalize on this interest that was immediately sparked.
That's scaffolding.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's just really, I think it would be really fun with families that are out and about, especially because of the fact that it has a translator component too, that you can just literally put over a language that's not yours. And then all of a sudden, you know, experience another language. So what does that look like to have that conversation with that child about the importance of culture and the importance of like inclusivity and how everybody's language matters and English is not the only one.
Right.
Yeah. Bonkers. But I just,
really well, that's the,
go on.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's just the crazy thing about technology is that it's going to allow us very soon and already to access the world in a very understandable way.
Yes.
And open kind of the world of language and culture to the world in such a powerful way like that. You know what I mean?
There's just so many opportunities that children constantly ask questions. And again, the best laid teachers can put it in the notepad and then like, remember 10 minutes ago, children, you were really interested in that one flower, not that flower, but the flower three flowers before. Let's remember if we will. Or you capitalize on it and then expand on it. So
that's exactly right. I love it. I love it. I love it. So definitely check out Google Lens, everybody. The last piece that I will say for a great tech tool that I've played around with a lot this summer with our campers is Oculus Quest. Oculus Quest is a VR rig. It is totally standalone, so it means you don't have to hook it up to a PC. It puts on your head. You look like you're from Tron. It's amazing. But the cool thing is there's games abundant, right? But they're active. So you can do games like climbing where the kids are actually doing like this. You can do dance games. Beat Saber where you're flying little lightsabers around, smashing blocks and stuff. I mean, everything that I wanted as a kid is in this little machine, right? But great tool because you can also do virtual field trips where the kids are actually super immersed in a 360. They can go anywhere. They can go to the Vatican. They can go,
anywhere.
And yeah, exactly. They roam and they're Catholic. But what I will say is, now hold on. I had it. It's going. Sorry guys. It's been a very long day. It's gone. It was good too. Damn it. Anyway, my friends, I gotta wrap it up.
It's a day.
Yeah. So definitely check out Oculus Quest. Definitely check out Google Lens. Definitely check out Seesaw. We don't have TikTok teachers tonight. I'm super sorry.
I'll make up with it while telling you about my dream.
All right, here we go.
So last night, I have never dreamt about a president before or a vice president or a first lady. And I was fast asleep and Barbara Bush came to my dream and she told me of this invention that I was going to make. Garrett, I don't know if this exists, but I don't have a bedside table because of the fact of like, it's a Chicago apartment. So like, we're lucky the door opens. It's a fitted sheet with a pocket that you slide your phone in. So like, you're never like, where's my phone? And then like, I'll knock my phone off in the middle of the night and I have to like pick it up. I know Barbara told me about it. I don't know if this is
Barbara.
Told me all about this.
All right. So here's the deal, Rachel. You got to go on Shark Tank with that story.
I asked Chris, I was like, how does Shark Tank work? And he's like, why the fuck are you asking me about this? And I was like, Barbara Bush told me about this thing. And he's like, go to bed.
Yes. Oh my God, that is the greatest idea ever created on a Teacher's Lounge show. That is.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Really, dude, on Barb's idea. I was just
I'm telling you.
She told me.
No, but here's what I see. I see you on Shark Tank, and I see you showing them a video of a recreation.
She just flies in over and be like, "Where's your phone, Rachel?" I'll be like, "I don't know. I think I dropped it." Wouldn't it be nice if you could just
but fly like this, like?
Oh yeah. So that was my
Rachel, President, First Lady Barbara Bush. Yes,
I like that. Barbara, what are you doing here?
And I like that it's like relevant to now, like, yes. You know, like she's telling you this, like this presidential lady,
yes.
You know, when you have your cell phone.
It made a lot of sense in the context of my dream. I totally
understood.
I was like, you're right, Barbara. This is where my cell phone should go.
All right, guys, this is a version of copyright. So we're on live TV. She had that idea first. It is documented. I have the day, the second in which she created that idea. And, you know, and I don't know if I'm going to have Rachel on the show anymore because she's going to be off in Fiji with all the billions and billions.
With your sweet Barbara money?
With your sweet Barbara money. All right. All right. My friends, we're going to wrap up the show. I've got to get back to my chitlins upstairs. And so I'm going to let Rachel take it away.
Alrighty, friends. It is 9 o'clock at night if you're on the East Coast. So it means it is super bedtime. But guess what? Tomorrow's Friday. Have an extra water balloon fight. Maybe do a tug of war. And also, don't forget to dance. Dance a lot. And I'll help you get to the weekend. And help you to get to next week, where we'll see you on Thursday at the Teacher's Lounge. Toodles!